on WSQF Blink Radio 94.5. Barry Goldmeyer's in the house, a fellow Key Biscayner like myself. And he's giving us a backstory of where this all began in the formation of Israel. And please start again, because there's a spiritual awakening, there's a biblical implication, there's Torah implications, and why this is so atrocious, what the Palestinian people, who are made-up folks from tribes from all over the Middle East that never really were indigenous to Israel, where does this fit in the giant puzzle, and where Israel stands and how it needs to preserve its nation? Go ahead, start again. I'm sorry for interrupting.
Okay, but you know, but I wanted to get into the nature and the scope of the betrayal, because it can't be called anything but a betrayal. And the way the U.S. is betraying their allies, look at the way they just abandoned the Afghans, who they encouraged to fight.
To fight and stand up on the side of the United States and help us defeat the Taliban. And look, we've left them hanging.
And look at what happened with our, I can't even call it withdrawal, fleeing Vietnam, when the North Vietnamese came in, and they didn't even see to the safety of the people who had helped them for decades, their interpreters.
They were probably slaughtered within a year.
Exactly. So the United States.
Same as the Afghanis.
The United States cannot be trusted. And when it happened to the Israelis, the last people on earth, you'd think it should happen to, because of the depth of the commitment of the United States to the existence of Israel and to Zionism was unthinkable, but that it could be reversed in just a few weeks. For like a few hundred thousand votes
in
Arabs, Arab sections of states.
Michigan, Wisconsin.
Of states where people actually proclaim their hatred for America. And as part of that, their hatred for Israel and Zionism.
Isn't that
very
typical?
But you have to understand, what is Zionism?
Okay.
Now, I'm proud to be a Zionist. And Zionism is basically the philosophy and the promise to the Jewish people by themselves that there will never be left a minority in another country.
I'm a slave.
Not to be able to defend themselves and not be able to protect themselves. Now, I can only talk about. There's a movement among African Americans for reparations for slavery, etc. Well, you know something, I don't think anyone in the African American community can point to a relative within a generation or two who was a slave. I, on the other hand, had a grandfather who was like dragged off into be a slave laborer for the Nazis, because my background is German Jewish, and he eventually died because he was worked to death.
Yeah,
in a factory.
And that's just one generation removed from you, your father's or mother's.
So I think
parents.
it's absolute chutzpah or gall for other people to say, well, they should get reparations and ignore people like us who aren't even asking for it, wouldn't even take it. Etc. And yes, there were payments to people after World War II, but that was for mainly property that was confiscated, and for businesses that were taken and things like that. So to sort of compare the two is you know really unjust. But for the United States, who basically backed Israel and bought into Zionism, enabling the Jewish people to have their own state, which was
this is what year 48?
1948, correct?
Yes, under the presidency of Harry Truman.
Harry Truman, who was a ordinary guy, a clothier, went and had a menswear shop. His partner was Jewish.
There you go.
Marcus.
Enough to have that sentiment.
Well, you know, they went bankrupt. And during the Depression. So Truman went into politics. So he at least saw the need to protect good people. And Zionism really is defined as Israel's, the Jewish people's ability to sustain themselves and defend themselves in their own state. And people calling it a racist and, philosophy couldn't be more wrong.
It can't be more ridiculous.
It is anti-racist
yes.
in every shape and form. Now, I believe that the U.S.'s bond with Israel and Zionism is a sacred bond because it fulfilled not only because it fulfilled ancient prophecies, but because it enabled the people to have the faith that they would have a protector and a friend throughout history. And as it turns out, to this day, Israel has been the most faithful ally of the United States, voting with the U.S. In favor of motions of the U.S. And with the U.S. more than any other country in the U.N.
And ironically, the United States just abstained at the Security Council.
Yes. And I think
not to the favor of the Israelis.
And my ire is reserved to the very shallow and untrustworthy Democrats who, for really like 160,000 votes in Michigan and Wisconsin, of people who actively say they hate America
and they hate Israel,
death to America.
Yeah.
People who are shouting death to America, they want their support in this upcoming presidential election. And for that, they throw Israel under the bus like they did Afghanistan, like they did South Vietnam.
Can we also include the island of Cuba, too?
And Cuba. Mm-hmm. So many other places. So how shallow and how trustworthy can the Democrats be? And can they be trusted with any treaty, any obligation?
Well, here's a question for you. Can they be trusted with the Jewish vote in this election?
Well, okay, do they have the Jewish vote? Well, they have the Jewish vote because their parents own
the Jewish vote.
They own the Jewish vote because their parents thought that Roosevelt defeated Nazism at the end of World War II, and they saved all of those in the death camps, which, in fact, they did.
Yes.
That was true. And that's the reason they got the Jewish vote. And the second reason is Truman supported the creation of the State of Israel. Now there is a leftist reason why the Jewish vote has gone to the Democratic Party, which has always been the leftist party in this country. And that's because business owners were always identified with the Republican Party. And although they were mainly Democrats, at least in the 20s and 30s in the sweatshops in New York, in the Lower East Side and places like that. So they were allied with the vote of the left and the labor unions, and they were dragged into the Democratic Party, then totally taken advantage of and forgotten
for a long time.
Yes.
decades after, including here in South Florida, where Jews emigrated, I guess,
from New York.
Yeah.
They brought that same leftist philosophy from New York, and they were, it was like natural, not without even thinking, to become a Democrat. Well, the Democrats took them for granted. And by the way, we can see this, the same scenario taking place with the black vote.
Yes.
Because the blacks, who really have a Republican president to thank for their freedom, not a Democratic president.
That's right, Lincoln.
Yeah, yes. But the blacks also automatically voted Democrat because the Democrats would pay to play. Basically,
the Welfare Act and the Civil Rights Act. Bought them, basically.
But they would give them stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to see where locally, in any municipality in this country. If you want to identify a black neighborhood from a white neighborhood, and if you go on Google Earth, you'll see where all the ballparks and where the all the public and public par, you know public
amenities
amenities are, and those were basically payoffs to the black community, and so they so that's that that would inevitably become a black neighborhood when you're exploring, you know, who lives there.
Yes.
So the blacks have gladly supported the Democratic Party because they were getting stuff out of it. Now
I remember when Romney made that case for his laws, he was chastised for saying, "Yeah, this is a country that is guaranteed to get stuff, and they'll never vote for us."
Yeah.
And he was lambasted. I remember Bobby Jindal, he was all over him the next day. "How dare you say that? You lost because you were a terrible candidate." Well, that too. But the truth is, my God, the Democrats are the real sold-out party, man. They just receive stuff. Whites and blacks and Hispanics and Jews.
Well, today's Democratic Party have betrayed...
Everyone.
Have betrayed Israel and the Jewish vote.
Absolutely.
They've taken for granted and are forgetting... And by the way, one of the big problems with the black vote is all of the things that the blacks lobbied for themselves is now being given to the illegal aliens.
Absolutely.
The ability to camp
the real Bidenomics is if you're an illegal alien, things got much better for you.
Yeah. And things like free health, free food.
EFT cards for food.
Yeah, all of these things that were promised.
And housing in luxury hotels.
but all of the things that were promised to the black community have been taken from them and instead given to the people who illegally cross the border. But we, you know, we diverge, you know, ourselves. But the point I wanted to make most strongly is Zionism is not a racist philosophy. It is a self-preservation philosophy, which has been demonstrated in recent weeks by Israel's ability to invent, deploy, and operate the most sophisticated defensive systems on the planet.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the attack from Iran showed it with 99% defeat rate of all these rockets that came.
Well, Iran showed their incompetence and their inability. You know, their bark is worse than their bite.
Yes.
But
why do you think we don't just take them out as a country? Why don't we just overthrow them?
I've been advocating Israel just bomb their nuclear facility. Because let me tell you the importance of their nuclear facility.
Money!
No. It's what differentiates them from the other states in the region is that they have the ability to blow those other states to kingdom come. And the Saudis would love to have their own bomb.
Yes.
Because they know one of Iran's bombs after Israel and the United States.
It's theirs.
Next bomb is coming.
Yeah, because they're Sunni. And they, at the end of the day, Shiites hate Sunnis and Sunnis hate Shiites.
let me get into this, especially religiously and racially. My ire is not toward Arabs, toward Muslims, etc. They're quite different. Quite just like Americans are quite different from one another, depending on the region you come from and how you were brought up and things like that. I've traveled around the Sunni world. I've even been to Iran. I've been to 74 countries. So I've been a lot of places. The Sunnis and the Shiites have this thing with one another that they hate one another. They think each one are heretics.
And yeah, the bastardizing the Prophet
and
Muhammad.
And the only way of dealing with a heretic is to kill him.
Yeah.
No reasoning, no talking, etc. But Arabs in general are just ordinary people, just like everybody else. They're Christian, they're Jewish, they're different kinds of Muslims. they're Zoroaster, they're Baha'i, you know, they're a variety of religions.
Yeah, they have sects within Muslim.
And the important distinction between the Palestinians and all of the other Arabs, and believe me, there is a distinction, is the fact that the certain Palestinians have been weaponized, made into weapons because of their education. And if you go, for instance, to Dubai, modern city, Dubai is like five Miamis.
Yes.
And by the way, Tel Aviv and Dubai are very similar, and there are five flights a day between Tel Aviv and Dubai. That just shows you, you know,
a lot of business,
power of trading, and tourism and things like that. Well, if you go to Dubai, go to a school, they're being taught the stuff basically we're being taught, the actual real history. They're being taught languages. They're being taught math. They're being taught productive things that enable them to be productive in life and to contribute to the greater good of society in general, not just for the UAE, but just in general. And they can get along in the rest of the world and are employable in the rest of the world. The only place that does not have a standard, modern, realistic education system are the Palestinian, are the ones controlled by the Palestinian Authority. They're taught that being a martyr, which means killing somebody while you kill yourself,
is an honor.
is a glorious thing. In fact, they pay the family of their so-called martyrs. So they're paying people to have their kids go out and kill themselves. Yeah. So that in the act, they kill other people. They're not taught anything, how to read nor write, nor anything. They may be taught to memorize passages of the Quran, but they're indoctrinated from day one. And I don't know if anybody out there is a big fan of the movie The Manchurian Candidate like I am.
Okay.
There's three versions of the Manchurian Candidate. So if you take the Manchurian Candidate and you apply it to a whole educational system, there you get, the result is the mindset of the Palestinians. Mindset of the Palestinians is basically, we're right and everybody else is going to die because they don't believe what we do. And the Manchurian Candidate was brainwashed. That's basically the theme of the movie. I'm sorry I ruined it for somebody.
No.
Was brainwashed to do whatever they were.
Actually, you probably got a lot of people to go rent the movie today.
Well, I mean, my favorite version is the one with Frank Sinatra, not Denzel Washington. I just like the Frank Sinatra version.
Yeah, you're that generation, Barry. Admit it, man.
No, I'm not that generation.
You're not Frank Sinatra's generation?
It's just more raw. I'm the Denzel Washington generation.
Really?
Yeah, but the one with Frank Sinatra is a little more straightforward and raw because it has the doctor from Manchuria, and it has the Soviet manipulator in the movie with the Denzel Washington version. They skipped that part.
Ah, interesting. I haven't seen it, so I'm interested now.
Well, okay, so then I can get into something that'll probably raise a furor, but I believe we live in a time of the Manchurian Candidate. I mean, if there's anybody who qualifies as a Manchurian Candidate, it's Joe Biden. He's being controlled. He's not in control himself.
Does that exclude Barack Obama?
No, it includes Barack. Barack Obama was the original.
I call it the Obama bin Biden administration.
but I mean, Barack Obama was the original Manchurian Candidate. But I didn't know who he was taking orders from. But it's very obvious to me that the handler for Joe Biden is because the handler has to be with him at all, at his side all the time.
Probably in his earpiece.
And the handler, I think his handler is Jill.
Yeah. I can see Barack calling Jill on a regular basis and telling her what to tell her.
No. Joe's handler is Jill.
I understand, but that, I don't think Jill is giving her commands from her purse. And talking to her husband, I don't believe she has the...
I mean, you know, this is...
I believe Barack Obama talks to her on a regular basis.
Pure conjecture, but...
And besides, would Barack be able to get to Biden directly just through his chief of staff? And
Of course.
Just call him every day.
Of course, and my suspicion of Obama is he came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Without a real background.
Zero. And without a job either.
And that catapulted Trump into some notoriety.
Well, it was also the hatred for Hillary within her party that allowed an unknown to be showcased at a Democratic convention and make him the candidate soon thereafter.
What I'm saying is worse than an unknown. But getting back to the reason I went to the Manchurian candidate is you have Palestinian kids who are brainwashed to do these horrific things. Now, they don't have to be members of Hamas. All they have to do is go through the Palestinian educational system. And the reason I came to that conclusion is when October 7th, when after the shooting was over and they went and the Israeli army went and they found the dead bodies of the attackers, and they began to figure out who they were.
And turn on their cell phones.
You know, there were like 150,000 of them. 100,000 of them had little Hamas flags. They had instructions from Hamas. So they were in some way affiliated with Hamas. So who in the world are these other 50 people? These other 50 people were ordinary Palestinians who were just inspired to go off and kill somebody because they were Israeli, Jewish, or American. And who did they kill? Well, you forget, Gaza was separated from Israel by a fence, a wall.
And we're talking the same things here.
and the opportunity, and the only employment opportunities the people had were working in Israel. 50,000 Palestinians worked in Israel each day. For instance, when I'd go to Jerusalem and I'd go to the old market and I'd ask people, you know, where do they live? Those people, by and large, live in the West Bank. But 50,000 of the attackers on October 7th were local people who lived on the other side of the fence and were, by and large, employees of the people they killed. Now, how scary is that?
Yes.
So one day there's a guy outside cutting your grass, and the next day he's inside with a Kalashnikov, you know, shooting you while you're sleeping.
Yes.
And this is exactly what happened.
That's exactly what happened.
Or kidnapping your daughter or your son, carrying them away. And also, I don't believe, and this is my opinion, that these people should be referred to as human beings. I don't think...
So Trump is correct.
I don't think the Hamas people are human beings. To be human, you have to be humane.
Yes.
You have to show some acts of kindness and understanding. Well, going in to a maternity ward at a kibbutz that specialized in natural birthing and cutting off the heads of babies with machetes... excludes
humanity,
you from having that right to be called a human being, because it shows you have no humanity to you.
No.
Machine gunning, you know, they had the primary school. In one primary school, they had a bunch of kids, 7 and 8 year olds, and what they did was they rolled in flaming tires to the kids, burnt them to death. Now, how can a person like that be referred to as a human? There's no humane, no humanness in them.
Yeah.
And this is the way they were educated, and this is the way they act now. And I think people just mistakenly assume that they're ordinary people who are caught up in something. But no, these are people who are
They're waiting this whole their whole lives for this moment to
kill. They're not human. They're not have no humaneness. And what? So what are they? Well, I think they're in league with the devil.
Yes.
I think they're Hamas is the devil.
Yeah, devil incarnate. No one can debate that.
Now I'm going to go back into some history.
Okay.
Because when the Israelites went into Canaan, you have to remember the Canaanites.
Give us some kind of approximation of year so the audience knows.
Okay, so after the Exodus from Egypt, I'm going to lift this quietly.
Okay, so we're talking, this is obviously before Christ.
This is time of Moses.
Okay.
Moses was leading the Israelites. So what happened? God gave the promised land, gave Israel to the Jews. And by the way, he passed down, I think that was 34 commandments. What is a commandment?
And us Christians cut it down to 10.
Well, no, a commandment was an edict from God.
Yes.
What to do. But anyway, so the Israelites went to their new land, and they came upon sites where the Canaanites had worshipped Baal. Now Baal was their god. So people who read the Bible today are looking, you know, they see references to idol worshippers. Well, the Canaanites worship Baal, and part of the worship and part of that was human sacrifice. So when they came upon the place where the Canaanites worshiped Baal, there were human bones all over the place because there were human sacrifices, even of children, that took place there. And so, and that's where I think the concept of hell started to develop, that these people were from hell.
Yeah.
And here they were killing their own kids, etc., as part of their worship ceremonies. And this is the lineage that the Palestinians claim. Now, as a matter of fact, there was a tribe that they passed along the way who would, on the way out of Egypt, who attacked the Israelites, the Amalek. And they would attack the Israelites, torture the men, sounds familiar, rape the women, kill the children, etc. And this was the practice. The Amalites were described in the Hebrew Bible as, you know, having occupied a certain part of Canaan, but as wicked people. And one of the commandments we're not familiar with was that God had passed down a commandment to the Jewish, to Joshua and the Jewish forces to extinguish, wipe out the Amalek tribe. This is the tribe that are today's Palestinians claim lineage from.
It's because of a self-proclamation or because of geographical...
No, God...
The connection you're making between the two.
Because they were... Specifically because the Amalites were so wicked and
So behavioral, not necessarily geographical.
Behavioral, because he did not want the new Jewish nation to live with these people, live amongst these people, and pick up in any way their wicked ways. Keep them away from them. And in fact, I'm trying to find, because I have a little quote in front of me. The Torah commanded the Israelites, Israelites were given the request in the land of Canaan that they were instructed to entirely eliminate the tribe inhabiting the land. The reason behind this commandment, because it was a commandment from God to Moses, the reason behind this commandment was to prevent the Israelites from assimilating the evil ways of those tribes.
Plain and simple.
And I don't think those people have changed a bit.
They haven't.
And those who call, by the way, for a two-state solution, that'll never happen. It's insane.
No, one state will not tolerate it. The other state knows that it's intolerable. So it's a stupid idea.
Well, you had one wall separating Gaza from the Israeli territory in October 7th. You see what happened there?
Yeah.
Now, would you live just like a little fence on the other side of the fence with a bunch of wild dogs and uncivilized people who you know would turn on you in a heartbeat?
Yeah, would you be a hen farmer, a chicken farmer?
And so
with hyenas across the fence. By the way,
this quote says the goal was to prevent the Israelites from assimilating with a Canaanite tribe, and this was not a command for genocide. If the member tribes would abandon their offensive behavior, then that commandment would not be have to be carried out. But it can't commanded them as they were to, and Joshua was given three letters instructing him to wipe out the Amalites.
Now,
down to the last suckling child. In other words,
that's in the text itself, yes.
In other words, wipe these bad, evil seeds away, at least we intermarry with them or take on their ways, etc. These are just bad people that can only bring us bad. Now, the two-state solution that is being proposed is nothing but a violation of this commandment, because you can't let them live and live next to you expecting them to be any different than they have for
millennia. If anything, they'll become stronger and more fortified to eventually eliminate you. That's their whole aim in life, is to this very day, eliminate Israel.
October 7th. So if you, and so then this brings us to current situation. If Israel is terrible at one thing, it is PR. They have lost the PR war. Now, the Biden administration hasn't helped them at all. In fact, the Biden administration has made things worse. And I...
Led by a Secretary of State is also Jewish.
Well, Anthony Blinken is wanted to become the next Henry Kissinger. So how do you become the next Henry Kissinger? Well, Henry Kissinger did something very, very meaningful in world history. He brought communist China and the United States together, and he was able to make peace and create trade between the two nations. And that's what Henry Kissinger is known for. Well, Anthony Blinken's China is Iran. You have to ask, why all of these efforts to favor Iran and treat Iran softly and not, you know, and not do the obvious
more than softly.
Things.
Finances them.
Yes, giving them $6 billion.
In frozen assets.
And $10 billion. Well, because Anthony Blinken wants to create a peace between Iran and the United States so he can get a Nobel Prize.
Please.
And be known as the next Henry Kissinger. And that's what's behind it. And I also strongly suspect that there is a...
Well, they give the Nobel Prize to Barack Obama for winning an election. Yeah, I guess they can give it to Blinken for destroying Israel, you know, as a Jew. That's the odyssey.
That is
a Nobel Prize.
He was brought
up in a complete farce.
He's brought up in an Orthodox home.
Wow. So he's like a Lieberman. Orthodox home.
Lieberman was a good guy.
Yeah, but raised in an Orthodox home.
Yes, exactly.
So you can see how even if you can be raised similarly, you can become completely dissimilar.
Well, if your only interest is in yourself,
like Joe Biden, and which the left accuses Trump of being only interested in himself. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's projection. Well, you saw that with Katie Couric the other day. She was projecting envy on the Republicans when it's the Democratic Party that is so envious. They've been envying Donald Trump since he came down the elevator, and she projected that in her snafu last night. And I wonder how many people actually believe that garbage. It's pretty amazing what we're going through as a country. And I know that in our
book, people, how people can be lied to and fooled.
Yeah, a complete cognitive dissonance. I also know that in our book of Revelations, the kingdom of David has to be preserved for the health and well-being of this country. And this country is implied in the book of Revelations, obviously, yes, by implication, only by description and I don't know, I guess through spiritual ether. But apparently some people believe, as many of us in the Christian faith believe, that since Moses never actually made it to the promised land, that America could be, by description alone, the promised land. And it explains why we are Judeo Christian society who's achieved the heights that no society in humanity and humankind has successfully achieved.
And you want to see, I mean, perfect example of how people are taught. I mean, we go to Miami Beach, and we see the guys with black hats walking around, and there are several sects of those people, and they're much more observant than ordinary Jews like me. But one thing that they all are taught to do and aspire to do is to do good deeds, that every day to do a mitzvah, a good deed. And
so, as in bar mitzvah being the great...
No, a mitzvah means a blessing.
Okay, so
if you do a good deed to someone...
I'm just tying the two words since I'm not Jew.
It's a blessing.
It is a blessing, okay.
But I mean, they're taught to do good things toward people. That's their goal, and they believe it's like karma. Yeah. They're checking up, depositing their good karma. So here's people like that who basically are selfless and will do, really give you the shirt off their back and anything. They may dress a little weirdly and may not. They're sort of like the Pennsylvania Dutch where... You know, they live in a different century.
Sure.
But opposed to...
Are you talking about the Amish or no?
The Amish,
Pennsylvania Dutch. It's the first time I hear that. Dutch, that's their origins, I suppose.
Yeah, yes, but I'm just saying, now we compare them to people who are taught to hate, to kill, that it will elevate them in some way to kill... Multiple Jews or Americans or
anybody is standing in their wake. Once they detonate the bomb, it's whoever's there.
Well, yes.
I mean, Muslims have killed each other more than any other culture or sect. Well, reminds me of Black Lives Matter. You know, if Black Lives really mattered, well, why are blacks killing blacks at record paces? You know. How can Black Lives Matter if they themselves are killing each other?
Well, getting back to Anthony Blinken, I personally believe that there's a pro-Iranian cell in the White House.
And there was under Barack Obama.
Well, there is one now because when...
I mean, man, he had Valerie Jarrett, for Christ's sake, Barack Obama did. She was influenced by Iran in a big way growing up.
Oh, Valerie, yeah.
And Hillary Clinton's chief of staff, what was her name again?
Huma Aberdeen.
Yeah,
I think Huma Aberdeen was basically harmless.
Really?
She
was Iranian.
No, she was Saudi.
Oh, she was Saudi, not Arabian.
Saudi grew up.
I stand corrected.
Saudi grew up in Pakistan. Married a Jewish guy.
Yes.
Wiener. Which is Anthony Weiner.
What a trip he is.
But he's the reason we never had a President Hillary.
Yes.
Because she was stupid enough to share her laptop with Anthony Weiner, who put his lewd and lascivious stuff on her computer.
He put his hot dog stand on the computer.
And that's why they found the 30,000 emails that Hillary deleted.
Yeah, because they were on his laptop.
They were the shared laptop between Anthony Weiner and Huma Aberdeen. Huma Aberdeen, by the way, supposedly dating Ben Affleck or something like that.
Oh, God. I mean, it doesn't even get better. It gets worse.
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Crazy. No, but at one point, when Biden came came out very strongly, undeniably for Israel, and there was a lot of pushback among the young black super progressive leftists in the White House who threatened to strike. They wanted to strike in the White House if the U.S. doesn't reverse its policy to favor Hamas instead of Israel. Can you imagine?
How can an American president accept those terms?
Well, they didn't.
Jeez.
Well, but somebody encouraged them that they had the power to at least get away with requesting that.
Drink your water, please, by all means.
Pardon me.
That's most important. When that happens to me, boy, if you don't drink the water, it can only get worse.
But there is a cell in the White House. There are bizarre things that come out of it. I believe that they're spies and that they're able to, you know, to let the bad guys know of our next move because they're tied in.
I believe that is an extension of the Obama administration. Those people just followed Biden into the White House. They're all the same players, everybody.
The Obama administration, you mean?
That's what I said, no?
Yes.
Yeah, I think an extension of the Obama administration is actually the Biden administration. They're one and the same. There isn't a single person that Biden has put in there that didn't serve Barack Obama first.
And think of
you got to bring the microphone. Move your paperwork and leave the microphone where it's and move your paperwork so the audience can hear you. The microphone's very important.
Leave the gun, take the cannoli. Yes.
Leave the gun, take the cannoli. Yeah, it's one of those things where we're in a society that is kind of intellectually lazy. And if you have a media-intensive society because the populace doesn't want to do any of the work you're doing now here on Blink Radio, we become more and more stupefied.
Well, let me go back again to history where I keep on wanting to bounce. Historically, there's been no animosity between Jews and Muslims. In fact, in the Quran, Muhammad refers to the Jews as people of the book. They had trading. They had a lot of... The Jews basically were the intermediate traders between the Christian world and the Muslim world. Silk Road.
Sure.
The Silk Road comes from... somehow you'd have these luxury goods appear in Europe and the Europeans say, we'll pay anything for it. And the dealers who sold these things to the crown heads of Europe were Christian, but the Christian dealers...
Yeah, had difficulty with profit.
The Muslims
wouldn't
deal with...
You're supposed to trade. They wouldn't...
The Muslims wouldn't deal with them. So they needed an intermediary, and the Jews were the intermediary between the Christian retailers, let's say. I'll just... put it in modern terms, and the Muslim importers. So these things got from China to Venice somehow. No, somehow is how. Well, along the Silk Road. And at one point, and by the way, Jews have been in China for 3,000 years. When I went to China, I did a little research on that and asked around, you know, where can I find history, you know, of the longtime Jewish involvement. Well, the first mention of Jews in China was by Genghis Khan.
Mm.
Genghis Khan pissed off at the Jewish community because they wouldn't eat Muslim food. Of course they wouldn't eat Muslim food.
Nope.
It wasn't kosher.
Yes.
So he had an edict against the Jewish community.
That's very far back, man.
Yes. 3,000. It was the first dynasty. Dynasty in China. Now, and so how did they get there and why? Can you imagine today a Jewish trader getting these incredible things that he sees his Christian customer is selling for five times what he sold it for and not wanting to find out where he can get it wholesale?
Yeah, really.
So he...
To this day. To this day.
So he went back with a Muslim trader along the Silk Road, and there were Jewish communities along the Silk Road until the place where the first emperor who united China worked out of, and I forget the name of the town, but it was near Beijing, etc. And that's where they found, you know, the little places that they made silk and wove silk, etc. But Jews have been in China forever, and the Jewish community and the Muslim community never had any real problems there up until the 1948. This was a problem created by the Cold War.
Who approached Hitler and almost convinced Hitler to hate Jews. It gets too much credit for it, but we played his audio. He was an Egyptian imam who really got Hitler's ear and fermented.
Oh, he's the guy that wanted to rule the Middle East.
Yes. And he failed. He had a coup that failed, and he resuscitated himself through Germany, who was willing to fund him again. And we played him here in a previous one of our previous shows. And I wish that I didn't have a senior moment so I could remember the names.
Well, at the time of the independence of Israel, Baghdad had a Jewish population of 500,000.
Wow.
Cairo, 350,000. Damascus, 250,000. And I could be a little off. Every Arab capital had a massive, not a large, but a massive Jewish population who were the
traders.
The traders. They were the professionals. They were the educators, etc. And they were part of the society. So
there's something to be said. I think the audience needs to know this. One of the things that I most recognize the Jewish people for as a Christian Catholic is that we come into town and build a church. A Jew comes into town and builds a school.
Yeah.
That says everything.
Talk
about blessing.
Well, our leaders are called rabbis. What does rabbi mean?
Teacher.
Teacher. Learning is paramount. And in the Jewish community. But I'm just saying, there were never any racial, just like right now. I'm telling you, there's no problem with Arabs, no problem with Muslims. It's who were educated under normal circumstances, Western circumstances. It's the ones that were indoctrinated, taught to hate. Yes. That's the problem.
That the tribe you described earlier. Amalekites, sir.
Yes, and the so this is a problem that developed because of the Cold War. Because when the United States recognized Israel, it automatically said, "Well, we just have a new client for our arms manufacturers."
Yes,
Lockheed Martin.
Yeah, we need to arm Israel to the teeth.
Exactly.
For the right reasons, obviously.
So the Soviet Union said, well, you know, we have nobody to sell our arms to, so we're going to back these Arab countries against Israel, and we'll sell our arms to them.
Yes.
And
to this day, it's always to this day.
And Nasser of Egypt at that time fermented a war. As a matter of fact, he was such a bad troublemaker, he grabbed the Suez Canal in 1956. And went to war with England and France, whose bondholders actually owned the Suez Canal.
Yeah.
But the Egyptians grabbed it from them, etc. So Israel had some built-in allies right there. So, but this whole thing was a created competition in order to sell arms. So the Arabs had to fight Israel, and Israel was the Jewish state.
Well, between 1666 and the famous Six-Day War, yes. America proved our weapons are better than your weapons because Israel kicked ass.
Yes, but I'm just saying, the rivalry There was no hatred, no racial hatred that preceded that. It was Cold War rivalry between them, and people make it up to be a racial or...
I think the...
Which it's not.
Yes, I believe the tiresome rhetoric is everybody hates Jews. And that's just not true. None of that is true. None of that is true. I think of the story my father used to tell me of a man named Joe Zales. And I've, again...
Your father told me that story, too.
He's in the article in the window there downstairs. And if it wasn't for Joe Zales seeing something in my dad, and my dad just asked him, give me your rotten stuff, and I'll come back with the money. I just came here from Cuba, you know. My dad is in his mind trying to think Robert and my mom, Teresita, who's still in Cuba. And he's probably just thinking, how do I survive this to reclaim my wife and son? And Joe asked him one day, and this is now my mom's side of the story, because my dad stopped talking about that stuff. He wasn't very detailed about the story, but my mom would get me the info. And Joe said, how in the hell are you, Roberto? How in the hell are you making money? I go, sir, I told you that if you gave me the worst stuff you had, I would sell it today and bring you the money. He goes, yeah, but how do you make a living? He goes, well, I'm sorry, I did take out money for lunch. And he just wanted to live another day. He just wanted to feed himself. Well, you know what? You see that kid over there, sitting there? He hasn't moved since I met you 6 months ago. I'm going to send him to his mother's house, where he can stay and suck off her breasts. You take that spot and run the business out of there. And my father found a home, Rokan Produce Company, that survived another 30 years and became the third largest produce wholesaler from that stall to 70,000 square feet, 30,000 square feet initially, and then another 40,000 square feet next door on a railroad track on 1344 Northwest 23rd Street. And that's how we got to here today.
Look, a lot of Cubans...
Joe Zales, God bless you.
...have the same similar story, how the only people who would help them were the Jews.
Yes, and especially here in Miami-Dade County.
And in fact, the Jews helped the Cubans because they saw themselves in the same plight, and they had empathy for them.
Yes.
And also, the Cubans became Republicans because the Democrats prevented them from being hired for hotel jobs because you needed to be a member of the union.
Yes.
And it was the unions.
My father's first job, painting the walls of Fontainebleau. And my mom's switchboard operator at Eden Rock. Of course, a year later. I tell that story downstairs.
Yeah. Okay, but we digress.
Yes. We're in that rabbit hole. It's the romance. There's nothing we can do about it. Well, but we're definitely, for the sake of speaking, are definitely the Jews of the Caribbean.
Well, you call yourself that anyway. No, really. How many times have I heard that?
Yeah.
But I also, going back to my theory that there is a some sort of cell in the White House, pro-Iranian cell.
Yeah, it's backed by money, too. It's not just intellect. It's money behind it.
I also think that Iran has tiny little cells all around the United States, which they activated for this pro-Palestinian,
Yes, blocking the bridges and protests on campuses. Absolutely,
because I saw people being interviewed. Our granddaughter goes to Tulane, and I saw the people being interviewed blocking the streets of Tulane. There were 40-year-old guys.
Wow,
they weren't students at Tulane. There were people that you can tell were sent there to cause problems. Now, how can we tolerate having cells of foreign operatives here? Well, just go down to the southern border.
Yes,
and count the number that are coming
across.
There's
got to be how many more you think there are since 2020? Probably another 50,000.
I have no idea, but
I mean, we're talking millions, folks. Millions have crossed the border. Millions. So when I say 100,000 subversive people, Muslim,
how would
I'm not far fetched?
Iranian cells.
Yes.
bent on death and destruction in the United States.
It's going to happen.
And the minute Israel... Oh, yeah, but let me get back to why the nuclear facility is so important. It makes Saudi Arabia think, you know, do we want to mess with Iran because they have nukes, we don't.
Yes.
Take away their nukes, they're like, they're nude.
Do you believe, as I do, that Iran already has the bomb and that's why they're creating such havoc now?
Would you be
that bold and send 300 rockets over the heads of three states
if you
don't already have the bomb?
If the workmanship...
I believe they already have the bomb. More than one.
If the workmanship was like it was on those rockets, then they have a terrible, shitty, malfunctioning bomb because they can't...
That yellow button is for your shitty comment.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I matched you. See, we both said.
The quality of what they've done has
been... Yeah, but it doesn't mean they can't detonate it right there in Tehran and blow the whole place to smithereens.
Yeah, but you can have a bomb in a suitcase.
Yes, you can.
So you can send one suitcase to Miami, one to L.A., one to New York, etc.
Through the baggage claim.
and that's what I believe they may have some places.
So, I believe so.
And I believe that's what's holding back.
And when you have a nuclear warhead on a missile, does it really matter if it gets blown up in the sky? The nuclear material, rains down on you either way.
No,
right?
It's inactive.
Huh?
No, it's inactive until it's activated. The warhead...
Yeah, but it's activated by contact.
Not necessarily by heat. By heat, you need an explosion.
Hello? Well, if you're shooting it out of the sky, what more explosion do you want? Think about it. Either way, it's a nightmare.
And also, the international community are fools. They want to provide infrastructure to rebuild Gaza. Well, how do you think Gaza got destroyed? They'd send in concrete to build a school. And they'd use it to build a tunnel to attack Israel.
With fiber optic cable.
They send in pipes for water and sewer, and they'd waylay them, send them off, and make a rocket out of them. In fact, they tore up their existing water and sewer system to make rockets.
Yeah, yeah. Talk about an association of fools, man. It reminds me, of the French side of Hispaniola that are only divided by the Dominican Republic and Spain and France by a river. Yet one side burned all its wood over the last 300 years. Therefore, there's nothing in Haiti that could be grown. There's no agriculture. There's nothing. And Dominican Republic has got mangoes, avocados, fruits, vegetables, everything, because they didn't burn their trees down. That's so indicative. I mean, so parallel to Hamas destroying their pipes to make rockets. I mean, come on. That's insane. It's insane. There was an analogy the other day that was just told to me this morning because I didn't hear it live, but it was a great analogy. It was done recently in the press. I don't know if this person heard it on social media or on TV or what, but he gave a synopsis of the human being, and it really excludes the Jew. The human being either wants to live in the jungle, which is how the Jewish people live. They fight for themselves. They fight for their self-existence. They fight. They overcome. In adverse conditions like in the jungle. And then there's a whole other mass of people that want to live in the zoo. They don't mind being in the cage as long as they're fed and given some kind of safety and security. And what better analogy is that? Live in the jungle, survival of the fittest, or live in the Jew, like the Jew, or live in a zoo like the vast majority of people and want to be fed and given.
Yeah, but the Jews are by and large educated.
Yes.
They're by and large want to do good. And by the way, this whole thing about the Muslims being paid 72 virgins, you know where that came from?
I'd like to know. I think the audience would like to know that too.
Well, my understanding is, by the way, the Muslims were known as warlike people. They are warlike people, just in general. Well, there were
Muhammad was the biggest assassin of them all. I mean, Muhammad was an illiterate. Muhammad.
Muhammad, yes.
Yeah. He was assassin. He was a murderous, philanderer.
I don't know about any of that, but there were two tribes that were fighting, And in order to fight, you'd have to raise an army. In order to raise an army, you'd have to pay them. So one guy runs out of money. And he said, and he says to the people, people fighting for him, say, we're going to go home. Not going to fight for you because you have none, can't pay us. And says, okay, what do you want? I have no money to pay you. Well, he says, well, we'd like virgins to have to build our harem. We'd like a harem. So he said, okay, I'll give you virgins. How many do you want? Oh, 7, 10. They're negotiating. They get up to 72. Okay, 72. I mean, it's like you only collect them when you're dead. It's like, whoa. I'll pay you in little girls after you're dead.
Wow.
And that's what they aspire to.
Wow. And that it's a shame we can't give the audience a time frame when this occurred. You know, I'm thinking AD, BC. That's the only way I could really think in terms of Thailand, but we don't know.
I don't know, but I mean, Arab tribes have been fighting other Arab tribes forever.
Yeah, forever. And will continue, and it won't stop.
Prior to Islam.
What do you think about Bin Salman talking to Bret Baier just a week before October the 7th? And do you think that provoked the action? Of course, the plan was in place many, many moons before that. But do you think that was part of the propaganda scheme that Iran immediately saw the Sunnis beginning their forays into serious negotiations with Israel about peace, for Christ's sake?
Like, well, Egypt. You know, that's what.
And then, boom, October the 7th derails all that.
Yes, exactly.
And they used Fox News for that to go worldwide, because Bret Baier was there live interviewing him a week later. And you can see he was Occidental education. He's a Western mind. Like, I'm not like my father, the king. I'm now moving Saudi Arabia forward. They talked about golf. They talk about live golf. They talk about sports, the soccer, the
he's
World
good,
Cup.
He was a good friend of Jared.
The deal with Kirchner. The associating it with Hunter, like some kind of ludicrous, stupid conversation comparison. And yet, boom, a week later, October the 7th, man.
Wow. Hamas, in particular, is great at PR and the big lie and falsifying facts. And
and creating militiamen underneath hospitals so that you have to kill babies to get to them. It's perfect propaganda.
Exactly. And by the way, the reason that they're not, the reason that they're not into Rafah is the infrastructure in Rafah goes 5 stories deep. And if they wanted to, see the Egyptians have fought fought Hamas before. And when they were fighting Hamas in the area of Rafah, the Egyptians just turned on the pumps from the seawater.
Yes, fill them up.
And flooded the tunnels.
Yeah.
Well, the Israelis were afraid to do that because of the hostages.
Yes.
Well,
I don't think the hostages are alive anymore.
We have no more hostages.
Yeah.
Well, I think that was a PR move to torture the families of the remaining hostages. I think that was to just say no hope. We killed your people, etc. You know, stop protesting. We're the ones who want to be the victims. We're the victims, not you. I mean, how terrible.
Yeah, I have something that I on social media platforms when I do my fighting early in the morning. I wake up in the morning and I go to their sites and I start blasting away at them, at all the left sites I could find, and. One theory I have is called the glass waterfront. And the glass waterfront, I say it at the very end, but the comment goes like this. I believe that the Israelis have no choice but to force the Palestinians to rediscover themselves without Hamas by finding their own Moses, okay? Blowing up the security fence at Rafah, sending them all into the Sinai. literally by force.
Yes.
Forcing Egypt to take them over in exchange for a bigger percentage, long term, of the natural gas reserves that are off the coast of both countries, Israel and Egypt.
Yes.
And just tell Egypt, hey, man, they're more like you than they're like us, but they can't live here anymore. And Egypt, you and have the United Nations write a big check and create a huge compound of millions and millions of Palestinians in the Sinai Peninsula. And that's it. It's over. Gaza becomes a glass waterfront.
Egypt understands.
Nobody that, wants the Palestinians,
that,
though.
That Hamas are not human beings.
They're not human.
Egypt understands that very well.
So they won't take in Palestinians, period.
The reason they, I mean, would you take in a mad dog?
But how about if we blow up the fence and let them just run that in that direction?
Well, that's what they're doing. And that's what the two-state solution is.
Well, if it's in Europe, if it's in Egypt, as long as it's, as long as Israel doesn't have Gaza at its back and its doorstep. Because you can't, you can defend one side, man, but defend both sides? Oh, my God, Israel's in such a terrible situation. They're in a triangle. Plus, you got the Golan Heights, which is actually higher than Tel Aviv. So it's very easy to send rockets from the Golan Heights into Tel Aviv.
Or it's easier to send...
It's a huge elevation there.
It's easy to send rockets into Damascus from there, too.
But don't you think Israel should get rid of Gaza, literally? Nobody lives there.
They have. They turned it
just
into,
send
a,
it, well, yeah,
into they, wasteland.
It's wasteland now. But whatever's left of the Gazians, they got to go. I'm calling them Gazians because I prefer to call them Gazians than Palestinians. Just send them into Egypt. And whoever wants to stay around, well, then you just ship them to Syria, Iraq, Iran even. Just they got to go. They just
None
can't
of
be
them
there.
Want them.
They Nobody know, wants them. Nobody wants them.
They man. Know they're evil people. All of these.
Yet they'll defend them to the T in the propaganda machine.
They know that they're descendants of the Amalekites. The Amalekites. They know they're descendants of the ones that God condemned and said you had to extinguish. They know they're that evil through and through. And you don't want to live near them. And you don't want to assimilate with them, etc. They're that bad.
Well, guess what? That's a dry... That's a drop the mic moment for part two. So thank you very much for coming. We'll end the show right here because you just ended it perfectly. You brought us where we started. So I thank you here at Blink Radio. Barry, thank you for coming and thank you for giving us a Jewish perspective on the truth. And I needed it too, believe me, because you taught me plenty today. And I really appreciate it because I call myself an Old Testament Catholic, which is the Torah. So my father always told me, don't let too many people convince you you're Catholic. You're actually a Jew. And that's really how I was raised. My mom felt that way, too, that we were very Jewish. We just believed in the Son of God, and you all believe in the first awakening. We believe in the second. That's it. But that's other than that, I'm really overwhelmed by how evil this tribe was. And...
Their descendants are.
Yes.
To machine gun and chop the heads off of babies. It's what you get.
Here on Blink Radio. Stay free, my friends. We'll be back later in the afternoon with a school board member who's running in section District 9. So take care and tune in at 5 o'clock. Stay free, my friends. Back in a couple hours. If you like our programming on WSQF 94.5 in Key Biscayne, you can also hear us very far away nationwide, WSQFradio.com. And if you like our audio files and our subject matter, subscribe to YouTube, Mac on the Rock Rampage. Take care and stay free.